seems that in Brazil, the government changes so frequently, and nevertheless is the only source from which there can be economic support for music, that if the government is favorable at a moment, then you can almost immediately give a festival of, say, modern music. And you can't plan it very far in advance, because by that time the government could very well have changed. So I saw the Carvalhos about, a matter of a month ago. And when I returned recently from Colorado, there was a letter saying that they would have a festival in Rio and Sao Paulo early in September if I would come. I think they can surely have it without me. I didn't want to go because it seems to me that one of the dangers that exists in may exist more and more is that once you pass the point of interesting people in what you're doing and they become interested, then what they want is not anything new from you, but rather what you have done before. So that you could be kept busy week after week, never having a chance to do anything but fulfill engagements, answer the telephone, and answer your correspondence. I remember speaking to Suzuki in Japan a few years ago about this question. He said it exists even in the field of philosophy. That philosophers who become of interest to a public are required to give so many lectures and classes and write books, answer questions and so forth, that they have no time to think.
It's almost as if one was destined to stop thinking at not perhaps in terms of our own level, but on others.
Yes.
They step in, all right, you thought enough. And you begin to feel, especially as one becomes famous, celebrated, you begin to feel, yes, I have thought enough.
Well, I must say that approaching, as I am right now, this Festival of Art and Technology in Stockholm, offhand this would appear to be, and I imagine it certainly would have appeared to me 10, 20 years ago, as a great opportunity. Not an opportunity to do something which I had already done, but an opportunity to do something that I had not yet done. Or as I find as I get closer and closer to it, that there is a resistance in me to have a new idea for an occasion. If I have a new idea, I would like it to be somehow free of occasion, free of this Well, I remember years ago, Marty, that we spoke about freedom, and you explained to me very clearly with that beautiful story about the birds that there is no such thing as freedom. You remember that you...
That even the birds...
You studied the birds, and you saw they were all grabbing for scraps of food.
Yes.
We do believe, though, that though there are controls in our life, as for instance with the birds that need to eat, that those controls could be in other places than they presently are.
I mean, you find, I found recently when I was in England that you become a victim of your own of all the stories told about you, true or false. I was in some pub, and a young composer came over to me, and he said to me, would you like a ginger ale? was the film, and he heard evidently that I loved ginger ale. I didn't want ginger ale. That particular, you know. I was in England for the first time. I wanted something else. I didn't want ginger ale. And I said, yes, thank you. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. Mm. But even on a musical and the whole aesthetical area of one's life, you really, in a sense, as one goes along, you don't want to disappoint this other self, in a sense, which becomes the young composers or the public, like an extension of oneself, a peculiar extension. You acquiesce, like a good parent, to their ideas about you.
I had an interesting thing happen recently. I went to San Jose State College, California. Buckminster Fuller had been there for, I think, a month, not so long before I arrived. And I gave a talk in which I mentioned both him and Marshall McLuhan a good deal. And during the question period after the talk, a girl came out and said, "Now, Mr. Fuller." I was very pleased. It was very refreshing to be mistaken, you know, after you'd spent a whole evening with someone.
But you didn't correct her.
No, I was delighted.
Yes.
I laughed.
Well, that's what I mean.
And I had then this kind of freedom I was speaking of, a freedom from being known, or at least I was being just unconsciously at the moment thought to be some person other than
oh, John, I remember that marvelous. I just remember that wonderful story you told me about when you were in Holland on the radio station, remember?
Mm, mm. I mean, where people get fixed ideas.
No. When this caretaker, as you're going into the engineer. The engineer,
he said,
yes.
"What's the music like?"
That's right.
And I said, "It's like Mondrian."
Yes.
And then after he heard the music, I said, "Well, what'd you think of it?" And he said, "Well, it's like Mondrian."
You almost anticipated.
But don't you consider that a fixed idea? I put something in his head and he couldn't get it out. That was all there was in his head. Hmm?
Yes. How about those that put fixed ideas in our heads?
Precisely. And what are we going to do?
I don't know. It's intimidating. I remember I had constant conversations with Stockhausen, and he would continually tell me to write big orchestral works,
mm-hmm.
because he felt evidently that would be one area where I might fall on my face. See, so he insisted. So he would always say, "Well, you must write a big piece next, a big piece."
But that was somewhat Boulez's reaction to my winter music. When he looked at it, he was very impressed. And he said, "You must do something with this."
Well, I'm easily intimidated, and it did bother me. I remember I did a film score on on Willem, you know, de Kooning, and he heard about it, and he asked me how many instruments did I use. And I said 5, and he looked very unhappy. And I became unhappy. Finally, he pulled it once more. About the big piece. And he asked me, "What are you writing?" I said, "I want to write a piano piece for one finger." I said, "But it's so difficult, I don't know how."
Yeah. I didn't hear that concert that Christian Wolff and David Berman and Kurt Schwarzik, and who was the fourth person, gave recently. You must have heard it.
Yes, I was there. I wrote a piece for Christian.
I know, and it when you mention one finger, And as I looked at that program of music, which I didn't hear, it struck me that that might have been that piece, was it?
Almost. Almost.
What happened?
With the piece?
What happens in the piece, yeah. It's a piece for electric guitar, isn't it?
Yes, well, what happens in the piece is, you know, it's a fantastic instrument in terms of pitches, is because the reality of the pitches that you write doesn't manifest itself exactly like the pitches.
So, right, I didn't get that.
Well, the strings, yeah. You know, are constituted in such a different way than the other instruments, that the pitch has another, goes into another domain whatsoever.
You mean it's not, I still don't get it. You mean it is pitch, of course.
Yes, it is pitch, but the pitches don't seem to be the same.
Uh-huh.
But,
Is there a vibrato in that instrument?
Oh, yes.
There's so much that I wouldn't like it.
You don't have to use it. You don't have to use it. Well, there's a gadget for it.
You turn it up or down?
Yeah.
What did you do with the piece?
Well, I wrote a piece for electric guitar, and I tried to overcome the fact that it was an electric guitar. And so Christian came over the house, and I had him try various things. Very strange things and strange registers. And when it didn't sound like an electric guitar, I wrote it down.
Very good.
I mean, it seemed too obvious just to write a piece for electric guitar, you know. I mean, that's... He plays it very beautifully, very hesitant.
Merce Cunningham told me it was marvelously soft.
Yes.
And yet it was coming through an electric sound system, wasn't
yes.
it? And it was still very soft?
Yes, it was very difficult to do.
I know it would be. It must have been magnificent. Hmm?
I have to recopy it. I gave him the only score. I wasn't sure about the piece. In fact, when they asked me for a piece for the program, mm-hmm. I said, well, there might be a possibility of a piece for electric guitar. And that's what they wrote down in the program, the possibility of a piece for electric guitar.
But it has another title now?
No. I think I have to get it back and look at it and...
Oh, I see.
Go over it and make a... Not a piece out of it, but... Copy it out.
I think this... I know you agree with this, that... one of the most useful things that could happen for the musical life now is concert that would let people experience Christian Wolff's music.
You know, John, at the same time, for whatever reason, when I was in Europe, people would speak to me about Christian Wolff, and I would tell him, well, you know, he's a professor of Greek at Harvard, and I seem to be talking more about his background in the classics and his involvement in the classics than I did in the music. And for some reason, this is unfortunate for me, by the way. Christian is becoming a symbol for me the way maybe I feel that I really would have want to have been myself. I just can't understand. I'll never understand. In fact, you always talked about it. I remember reading something you once wrote about it, about writing the music and then what happens to it. I think you outlined in numerically various steps of this particular...
Did I understand you that what he is what you would have liked to have been?
Yeah.
Let's say then what he is. It's a very curious situation. There's an enormous amount of patience in the music which he has written, that it is so patient that it is not being yet sufficiently heard and known.
Yes, but maybe because of that, you know, I saw de Kooning on the weekend, and he, of course, is talks about the fact, he says, well, he says, I'm old hat. And I pick up a piece that Christian wrote when he was 17, 1951. There's certainly nothing old hat about it.
Mm.
And the whole continuity of the work, I mean, it's just absolutely extraordinary. Mm. It's not musty. You're not opening up a tomb and, you know.
No, it'll be a magnificent concert. Mm.
You know. But at the same time, I mean, I would look at a piece of my own that I wrote 10 or 12 years ago, and I feel it's old hat. It's been around, it's been digested by myself. It's as if I've been, it's like having a bone on a plate, and then you forgot that you were chewing on it. You go back and you chew on it again, you know. And I don't think my pieces wouldn't have been that way if they weren't performed, if they weren't out in the world, so to speak.
No, but this, and this makes a very interesting situation, doesn't it? Bring up the question of history. And wouldn't we want the history, so to speak, to be straight? Whereas, and it is straight in the case of music that's written in 52, so forth, being known, being digested, and being perhaps a little familiar. Hmm?
Familiar, you know. I mean, last year,
there's nothing wrong with this. In fact, I think the only thing that's wrong is that things that were done then, that they are not yet familiar.
Well, you know, it's awfully aggravating. I was with Lucas.
Ways have been found to not even consider them. Hmm?
Yes.
What were you going to say?
Well, I remember a year ago I had a conversation with Lucas Foss, and he turns to me and he says, oh, Morton, he says, you're the safest of us all. Well, it upset me. It upset me terribly. Why am I so safe now for him?
What did he mean?
He meant that what I'm doing now is absolutely safe. He doesn't see the risk in it.
Mm.
He doesn't see what's new about it. You're the safest of us all, he said.
Well, that would be
But what if they never got a hold of my intersections? Or what if they never got a hold of all your work in the early 50s? I mean, that's what I mean. That history, history, in one hand, is not cruel when you see what it's done for Christian, you see, but it's very cruel when you see what it's done for me.
Well, he certainly has, still that freedom that we have lost. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And if I have my way, that's precisely what will happen. Hmm? That his work will become known, enjoyed, used, and then
digested.
Digested, and what will happen to it, I think, is just exactly what you speak of and what happened so soon for Webern, too. I remember, as you must, early in the 40s, being hardly able to contain myself for the excitement that a performance of Webern's music would give me. And now I can't think of anything more unnecessary to do.
Yes, I know Lucas.
Than to listen to any piece of his.
I know Lucas on the weekend was telling me you must hear these new pieces, a premiere, he said, of these two pieces. They're wonderful pieces of Weben. I just wasn't interested.
Well, now we're getting to an interesting series of thoughts, it seems to me. We then consume art, And by consuming it, we destroy its usefulness. Do we, for instance?
Sure, and then we have Marshall McLuhan.
Do we believe, are we setting up then another belief than the one which we were taught when we went to school, which was that the more you know about something, the more you discover in it. This was the defense of the masterpiece, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now we have a situation...
That's excellent. That's quite good.
Yeah. Now we have the feeling that once we know something very well, we have, so to speak, had it.
Exactly. And by being in the world, you very soon had it with yourself.
And so we change. I think we change at different tempi. For instance, one could thinking of your work, as contrasted, say, with my work, that your work does not change, whereas mine changes perhaps too much. Actually, over these years, knowing your work, for me, it has changed enormously and goes on changing. The piece which you just showed me an hour or so ago is fantastic, this one for three pianos. And it's, I don't know whether the sound of it would be as astonishing as looking at the manuscript was, but looking at the manuscript is an extraordinary occasion for the imagination. It looks perfectly rational at the same time that it's utterly irrational. And the result is that I can think of no other word than poetry. And yet it doesn't mean anything when I say that. The actual case is three pianos, two of which are, so to speak, coordinated and are working in a way that is reasonable to them, whereas the third piano is working according to some totally other